traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Ready to welcome in new friends this year? Meetup makes it easy to meet people with shared interests and build community doing what you love. Now's the time to boost your social life. Join Meetup, the people platform. Download the Meetup app to get started.
Think about, look, I've made hundreds of millions of dollars high. No.
And we've got yes. our opener for the show.
Yes.
Hey there. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
Whoa there.
Welcome.
Whoa there.
Welcome.
Welcome.
All right, boys. Who's got some good house gossip? I have something good.
What do we got? What's
Are we going rolling?
On? Yeah.
All right, this is perfect. I did a bad thing, boys.
What'd you do?
Shake my hand before you even say it. Spencer, shake my hand. Nah, don't do it. Stay there.
Here's what happened, bro. I'm just going to put it bluntly because there's no way to like work around the reality of the situation.
Yep.
And that is I made a TikTok in exchange for a blowjob.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
Not even I could argue this. I'm not mad. And normally, you know how mad I'd be about him making a TikTok, but in the name of love?
Yeah. In the name of BJ's?
Hey, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing.
Streamies!
There. What about them, Dylan?
They're streaming.
They're streaming. We got nominated for the number one podcast in the world to prove to the world, but I told my camp today, I sat my camp down. Because Spencer's like, yo, Dylan, our producer. He's like, yo, Dylan, what are the chances we actually win? Dylan's like, pretty high. Fucking high, to be honest with you.
High.
And I stopped them and I said, guys, if you're a part of this team, you know damn well all we do is lose. So be ready to take another fat
speak
L,
for yourself,
yeah,
champ.
Speak for yourself, bro.
Facts. Speak for yourself, bro. Have you seen that night shift lately?
Can I dive into this story a little bit?
Yeah, what do we got? Yeah, what all happened?
Right. All right, so there's this girl and she's basically said, like, bro, I'm a TikTok prostitute in many ways.
Yeah, yeah.
It was simple, dude. Like, we've been talking about TikTok on here and how it's pretty much the future of my life and the world. And TikTok will lead or will have the emerging great leaders of the world on it.
Right.
And short form comedy is my thing. So I haven't been really dabbling, and this girl like pushed me. She's like, "Yo, like if you make a TikTok right now, like I'll suck your dick."
Wow, I can't tell if that's a good friend or like.
I'll tell you why. I posted it, and I got 200,000 followers overnight.
Wow,
overnight.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing what a BJ can do.
Are those numbers inflated, by the way? I was talking to somebody about it before. I'll watch a video and it'll be like posted 2 minutes ago, 890 million views.
Every
person in the world is just waiting for the next TikTok video to drop.
So I looked this up. Every time a video renders,
an angel gets its wings.
What's
going on here?
A view is counted. So you can, if you're just scrolling through your feed and the video appears, I'm pretty sure that's a view.
That's what we call. I don't have a name for it. You think I can get this gum into that basket as opposed to sticking it under the desk?
I think you just keep on the current pace of what you've been doing.
Really?
I would probably just stick it under the desk.
Yeah.
But yeah, does this make me a bad person? Because like I really am grateful for that friendship.
Yeah.
She pushed me to do great things I wouldn't do. And by the way, I think if y'all have seen me today, I've been running around making TikToks.
You've made 3 TikToks.
I'm a TikTok god at this point.
Is that 3 BJ's or is that just one?
I think it was trend.
I think it was just a 1-for-1 thing.
Okay.
But yeah, man. Just super blessed to
be here.
To be here.
I mean, it was her offer. Like if it was your offer, that might be a little sus. Like and if you're like, yo, I'll make a TikTok if you suck this thing. But like the fact that she offered it to you, like I'm here for it, bro. The one thing I'm not here for though is your TikToks. They're great, don't get me wrong. But to hear you making them and then you just like I have this thing now where I wanna like start to call you out on things that you do that irk me, bro.
Oh, okay.
One of them is when you sing this song that goes, "When I pop," and it's literally the only song you ever sing that in Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody is dope. Off.
When I pop
that
off.
Song. The other thing is when you go, "Fuck!" I just want to, bro.
I do. Oh, really? That annoys you?
It annoys the shit out of me, dude.
I appreciate you saying this.
But I know, but I also I deal really with do. It just because you're my homie.
No,
and
no.
If that make, no, fuck that. No, if that makes that. You happy, bro, to make weird mouth sounds, bro, then fucking
it doesn't,
be
it
about
doesn't,
it, bro.
It doesn't make me happy. You know, I just do it. It's like a it's like a quirk. I don't fucking know.
It definitely is a quirk. It definitely is. But I'll be at the computer like editing at like 9 a.m. He'll come downstairs like, "Where do you find this?" Like right when he wakes up, he's already going at it, dude. Fuck.
I respect it, dude. I respect it. It's more of like a, I kind of want to do it, but I'm on the spot just to give them context for what you're talking about. Like I'll be like, "Oh, fuck." Where did this come from? Was this inspired by a real life event?
I think I'm just mainly just a moron. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, we got a sponsor.
Oh,
that's super cool.
There we go.
And it's Jay Black. Jay Black is back.
Ooh,
Jay Black
rhyme.
Was started out of the frustration of being unable to find any high quality fashionable frames at affordable prices, because any good quality pair of polarized sunglasses normally cost over $150. Jay Black is pushing at $49. And if you use $49, that is. And if you use the code impulsive-10, you can get 10% off, $44. And they're doing a giveaway, 15 AirPod Pros. They're the all-new noise-canceling headphones from Apple. So everyone that orders a pair of sunglasses between December 7th to December 22nd will automatically get one entry per pair of sunglasses they purchase. Meaning if you buy three pairs, you get three entries. And also, I got to say, you look great.
Oh, thank you.
This would be a great gift for anyone for the holidays. So go to jadeblack.co. Use the code impulsive-10. Get yourself 10% off your purchase. And a chance to win one of 15 AirPod Pros. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about.
Oh, shit.
And this episode in general is probably going to be a pretty out there episode. Mm-hmm, and for lack of better verbiage, a very blunt episode.
That's the second time you use it. And by the way, kudos, brother. Kudos.
A girl texted me today.
Oh,
no, she
shit.
FaceTimed me first. It was a bit too early for me, so I didn't answer.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Mm-hmm. Then I got the text. "Hey, give me a call back when you get a sec."
Now, whoa, that's a little worrisome.
If you're a dude who knows anything about anything, this text means one of two things. One, she got some sort of STD,
mm-hmm,
and she's calling you to find out if you gave it to her. Two, she's pregnant.
Baby, your father. Babies.
She's pregnant. Yep. You're fucked. Okay? So, it's the morning, dude. I don't want to start off my day like this, but this is how it's going to be.
Father,
so, I give her a FaceTime back, and it was not what I expected. She prefaced it. She goes, "Hey, I just want to let you know this is going to be a bit petty." And I was like, "STDs aren't petty, but continue."
Oh, my
and,
God.
And she's like, "Hey, I do you have me muted on Instagram? Because remember we talked about that on the one podcast? And by the way, I've been muting hella folk."
Yeah.
Hella folk. Oh, just like, yeah, just clearing out the noise. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "No, like, we're friends. I don't have you muted. Why do you ask?" She's like, "Well, I just noticed you've been liking, you know, a bunch of other girls' pictures."
Oh.
And like, not mine ever. And in my mind, I was like, wow, that is really fucking petty. She did say
it
that,
is.
But also, this is a bit too petty for me to pretty much
that's nuclear
give any mental energy,
yeah,
before, you know what I'm saying.
I would have said it's because your content's been whack lately, like step your game up, and then
or
maybe
did you
I'll like some of your
did
shit.
You blame it on the algorithm,
like on the alcohol?
It's the algorithm.
I said you know, I have this thing where if my friends do a sponsored post, I don't like it.
Oh.
I don't like the post, even if I enjoy the picture or the image or the video.
Really?
And she goes, "That's not true. You just liked, for the sake of keeping a name out of it, she goes, you just like Jade Black's photo." And I was like, and that was sponsored. And I was like, oh, well, there goes that logic. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what you want me to tell you. I'll start liking your photos. This is a weird phone call for me. I'm glad you don't have an STD. And I'm glad I don't have an STD. When, and you're not a mother.
When was the last time you talked to her? How much time had elapsed? Like, or met with her, been with her physically?
It's been too long to be having that kind of phone
okay,
call. You know what I'm saying? It's been 2 weeks, bro.
You just gotta
like, don't,
bro.
Don't do this to me, bro. Because
especially
at this point,
in the morning,
I'm a TikTok fucking G. All right, like, who you talking to, bro? I make TikTok.
Girls be putting way too much energy into all this little petty stuff on Instagram, man.
I mean, it's the world. It's the world we live
that's
in.
That's the name
now.
Of the game, Spender. Yeah.
Did you see that tweet that was like, it was some girl, like, she texts her friends before she says something. She says, "Are you in a position right now that you're comfortable hearing some news that could potentially hurt you?" That's what she texts her friends before she like imagine that's like horrible. The text you got this morning.
Yeah.
Horrible. Who wants to hear that shit? Just tell me, dude.
Yeah, just let it rip.
Just let it rip, mm-hmm. bro. I'm ready.
Same. There's no reason you can't text it, you know. The phone calls. They just make me nervous.
Same, bro.
They just make me I'm not like even if I had a girlfriend, and when I had a girlfriend, she's like, "Yo, we need to talk on the phone." I'm like, "Ugh."
Yeah, Angel doesn't do that. No, ever? No, we don't have any of that.
She saves it for in person.
We're just blunt. You know what I'm saying?
Man, a lot of puns going on in this joint today.
Speaking of puns, if you like sex, you'll love BlueChew.com. BlueChew offers men a performance enhancement for the bedroom because we'd all like to go a little longer and go some extra rounds. At BlueChew.com, you get your first chewables with the active ingredients. Here we go. So beautiful and tattle. You save active ingredients in Viagra and Cialis. It only takes a few minutes to connect with the BlueChew.com affiliated physician. And if you qualify, you get prescribed online quickly. No in-person doctor visit. No awkward conversation. No waiting in line at a pharmacy. And ships directly to your door in a discreet package, which I actually have here.
We finally got some, huh?
Facts. They give you confidence in bed every time. You and your partner will love it, chew it, and do it. Great deal for you guys. Go to BlueChew.com, get your first order free when you use the promo code Logan. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code, my name, Logan.
What a great product.
Yeah. So you've been using them, right?
Well, I mean, I occasionally when I have a big thing to represent, like last night I had a misfire, dude, a BlueChew misfire. I was trying to finesse this trayway. And I put myself
which in layman's terms is a threesome, right?
And I finessed myself into a corner, dude. Three ways are a really tough finesse sometimes. You got to show love to this one, but a little bit of love to this one, but not too much this one.
It is an art.
It's an art.
You
got to
be nimble.
And by the way, maybe I'm not the best painter at it, but I'm all right. I'm all right. But last night, dude, I was all fired up and I ended up in a pit of doom between these two. Didn't work out for me. And I had two snoring biddies side by side, bro. And I was just in the middle sweating. They had the blankets pulled tight on me. I was choked to the fucking bed, blue chewed out, intercontinental ballistic missile poking through the fucking blanket, bro. Yeah. And it was a no-go. I woke up this morning, dude, damn. At least they woke up and they're like, yo, we want to leave. I was like, thank God, bro. Get the fuck out of here.
All right, let's bring on our guest, guys.
Oh, fuck.
He's the CEO of Advanced Nutrients, the world's number one supplier of the best nutrients to the cannabis industry. He's basically the weed kingpin, and he's joined by an expert business fixer and co-host of the Business Outlaws podcast, which is aimed to teach millennials the unfiltered truth about the mindset and tools needed to become a millionaire. Please welcome Chris Collins and Big Mike.
Woo! Wow. I see it in your eyes.
Now,
he's excited.
If you guys were listening,
oh my God,
we got two big mics on set right now.
Is there a couple big gentlemen?
Calm down.
Hey,
you're gonna be all right. Big Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Good to see you, yeah,
Big Mike. You say
impulsive.
Yeah, welcome, boys.
Yeah.
I do have to preface this and let you know there is another big mic on set. I don't know if anyone told you this.
But it's Hey Big Mike.
Hey Big Mike.
Right.
You're the real Big Mike.
Well, let's just say, okay, so I got the nickname when I was growing in the dark ages, like I like to call it, when I was 25 years old, which was 1985.
Let's go. That's the year I was born.
Well, then I guess I'm the original.
Facts. Facts.
If age is a metric.
No argument.
Okay, there we go.
And by the way, you deserve it more than me because you are a giant.
He's actually big.
How tall are you?
6'7".
Whoa! Good God.
Goodness.
240, 13% body fat.
Wow.
There we go.
That's actually amazing.
There we go.
Good for you.
Ain't nobody walking up to this.
And I work hard at it. Yeah.
You're hot.
And Chris, what's good, man? The beard is exceptional. One of the best in the house. And we have a beard slinging pilgrim over there.
Yep. It's a phenomenal beard.
Yeah, it's a great beard.
It's taken a couple of years to grow.
I feel you.
How long?
It took over a year for it really to come in.
Yeah.
You know, because they start off a little blotchy when you commit.
Yeah,
I can relate, dude. In the beginning where it gets dandruffy and you want to shit. That's where most people quit is 3 months in.
But you can't quit.
Not now. Now it's kind of my look.
The stash is my favorite part.
Your stash is thick, man. Do you even have a mouth to me? I'm going to be. Oh, I see it now.
It is.
It's there.
You ever thought about playing a Kris Kringle at the local shopping mall? You'd crush it, bro. You got the perfect beard for it.
So, Big Mike, man,
yes.
I'm just going to ask you a pretty general question to start off with. What has made you the titan in the industry? What do you provide?
I'm the guy who does the fertilizer. Mm. And so it doesn't matter if we're talking black market or we're talking the legal market. There's still a quantity of quantity of cannabis that has to be grown. And I'm the guy, they all need fertilizer. So I'm in a great position. And I've been doing it for 20 years.
Why did you...
Growing for 36, though.
Okay. So why did you... You've been growing marijuana for 36 years.
Yeah.
And then you started making fertilizer because you saw there was a market for it.
Because there was crappy fertilizer in the marketplace. And I had a background and I knew I could make better products than I did.
Got it.
Yeah.
With fertilizer. It's
not just fertilizer. We optimize every single stage of cannabis's plant development.
Are you a botanist, though?
Like, no, luckily, I'm a pretty smart fella. And I went into the university reference library and just to study my ass off.
Got it.
And then I found who the best researchers are in the world, and I joined their organization. I'm one of the only non-PhD in that organization.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing an ad read starting now. It's an exciting time for sports, but none more exciting than the NFL. Sophomore sensation Lamar Jackson is redefining what it means to be a dual threat QB. Odds on Jackson to win the MVP race were 50-1. We're at 50-1 to begin the season. I'm going to start over. Fuck. Actually, you know what?
I think it's funny when you
fuck that. Keep riding it out, man. You got this.
They were at 50-1 to begin the season and have plummeted since, making my bookie's prop selection more attractive than ever. Then next week, we have one of the most stacked UFC cards in a long time.
Oof.
Three championship fights on the 14th, all highly anticipated, right in the betting capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Without a doubt, people are going to be looking to get in on the action, and we have the best place for you to go, MyBookie. You guys know it. You've heard of it. They have more lines and better odds for the player than any other sports book around. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to a $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. All you have to do is use our promo code Logan to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code Logan to get your extra cash from MyBookie. Bet, win, get paid.
That was good, bro. That's smooth.
Yeah, you crushed it. Also, if you're watching this and you don't want to use Logan, use promo code Mike Malak instead.
Do you really have a promo code?
Yeah.
That's fucked up of you.
Yeah. I know, but I mean, you guys choose which one you want to use.
I think mine's more powerful.
You can just bleep it.
Bet when you get paid. My bookie.
So you do it all, cloning powder, nitrogen rich.
I've done it all. Like every aspect of the business. I've been a seed breeder. I've been equipment manufacturer, distributor. I've owned hydroponic stores, and then I make fertilizer as well.
Are you high products. At this moment in time?
No, absolutely not. But we're gonna get high.
Fire!
You don't mind if I blaze up now, do you?
I absolutely don't mind. Yeah, right. If you want to.
I like the creative kingdom.
There we go.
Okay.
Why don't you toss a few of those over this way, Mike?
What are you in the mood for? I don't sell strains, I sell outcomes. So what kind of mood are you in? You in a creativity mood?
Wow.
Tell him, Mike, about the perfect day. Because what he's created here is the perfect day.
Okay.
Tell him about the perfect day.
This is the perfect day. So I got seven outcomes. So in the morning, you start. Morning motivator, mostly sativa. By the way, 4 to 6 strains go into every single one of these, and we're very specific cannabinoid and terpenoid profiles. And so when you put 4 to 6 together, you get this massive cannabinoid and terpenoid profile that allows us to get these outcomes. So we start with morning motivator, better than a cup of coffee.
So that's a sativa heavy, right?
Sativa heavy. Then this is Creative Kingdom, which is another sativa, but very light. So if you're a graphic artist or someone like this or copywriter, this is what you'd want to use. And then at the end of the day, instead of having a beer, mellow me. And then to get to sleep, we got Dank Dreams. And then we have Sensual Sensations. Now, guys, this is made for the guys to give to the girls. Because it arouses the women.
Amazing.
Okay.
I needed some of that last night, Big Mike. So, to be honest,
sounds like it would have helped you out quite a bit. And then, if you had a really good night, you'd go to Pain Tamer, which would take away your pain.
Fantastic. I love your branding, dude. I love the idea of this stage-driven process. I love the look, the feel, the colors.
So, you've been growing weed. For a long time.
Yeah.
Way when it was illegal.
The dark ages, yes.
Is that, Okay. And
or the black market, whatever.
How old were you when you started?
23. I'm 59 now.
Wow.
Did it scare you that you could get in massive amounts of trouble for that?
Oh, hell yeah. I used to have nightmares. Two to three times a week, I'd have nightmares about the cops chasing me. Now, ironically, sometimes they would catch me and handcuff me, but I'd still always get away.
And then
it became so commonplace, there were no longer nightmares. I just accept them as dreams.
What was your biggest op? Yep. Like, what were your op sizes back then, and what was the biggest op you ever
The biggest
had?
Op during when it was the dark ages, I had 500 lighter, a couple 300 lighters going.
Nice. So-
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Oh, when the guys started here and they wanted to, you know, grow, make these big grows, and these guys said, we're doing 100 lights. No, yeah. no, you don't want to do that. Let me explain to you how you want to break this down. So, but they figured it out.
So like 500,000 watt lights or something like that. How many plants would that be?
Run by a generator. I typically at that time was growing a 9 per light. So
5,400 plants or 4,500 plants.
Had generators and everything. Yeah.
How did you not get busted?
I had good counter surveillance.
Like
real good counter surveillance.
I'm reading here. It said you lived under multiple identities to protect yourself and ensure your continued success.
Yeah.
You changed your identity multiple times?
Oh, yeah. About at least a dozen times.
Were you like Big Mike and like Medium Mike?
No. I was Mike Werbach, Michael Remington, Michael Paulson. But then when I made a big move up to Canada, I used the name Tom Newman. And in fact, if you watch Weeds, I was the technical advisor on that show. Oh, and one God. Of the shows, wow.
Great
they,
show.
They go, they said, where are you guys moving to? And they said, Canada. And they go, okay, here's your name. You're T. Newman. And they handed it to him, which was pretty cool.
Wow.
A little tribute.
I also heard you were a technical advisor for the movie Pineapple Express.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What does that mean, technical advisor?
Well, they want to make sure that the grow looks right, the lights look right, and that kind of stuff. But those plants were all plastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Like when I was a weed, I had to teach them how to trim weed. They actually took these plastic plants, and I had to, Mary Louise Parker had to, you know, show her how to trim plastic weed.
You hang out with James Franco and the actors in the movie.
So no. I never got to meet those guys.
At all? Not even meet them once?
No.
That's weird to me. Yeah. Especially with the importance that the technical advisor was to a movie like that. Yep. There's always those guys in like those niche movies. Like if you have like a cocaine movie, like they'll bring in some like CIA or FBI guy that worked on like those counter teams and shit. They just want to make sure everything looks and feels right.
That's right. So they actually brought me in for one day. And after they set it up, I said, everything's right. This is how you do this, and this. And I had product placement, and of course, that's what I would always trade that.
So you're talking about for that grow, underground grow. Right. It was what were the plants called in it? It was
Pineapple Hawaiian Express.
It was all Pineapple Express. That's
Pineapple Express. Yeah, that's the name of the movie.
When they went back there at the end, when they were about to get killed, and they were both locked downstairs in the little room.
Yeah, I was there when the guy got caught up and he was hanging into the plants. I was there that day.
You know? Oh, nice.
That's one of my favorite fucking movies. I thought hurricane season was over.
Were those plants plastic?
Yeah. Yeah.
On that one too?
Silk and plastic. Yeah, it was a combination.
Interesting.
And they couldn't,
because
they,
it was a dark age. They couldn't legally use real plants.
Yeah.
So they didn't want the liability.
Yeah.
Yeah. So somewhere along the line, then you ended up living a pretty crazy lifestyle.
Yeah. I got sick of running.
What'd you say?
I got sick of running.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you just said, fuck it, I'm going to throw the most amazing parties I possibly can.
Well, no. I realized that California by far is my largest amount of business that I do globally, actually. And so I realized that the epicenter of cannabis and media is right here. And so I moved here about almost five years ago.
His saying used to be, I'm selling the shovels in the gold rush.
Yeah.
Because he's selling the nutrients, but he's on the okay side of liability.
Got you. Well, I heard a party got shut down by SWAT.
Well, yeah, they did.
What happened?
By the way, it's not a real party unless SWAT comes and closes it down.
Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. They shut it down 45 minutes early.
That's not bad. You guys still got
that. It's so bad. And by the way, no one even complained about that. They just said it was a great party.
You do any work with Dan?
Wait, hold on a second.
Bilzerian?
No. No,
not at all.
No.
You don't supply any nutrients for his growers or anything like that?
No, not that I'm aware.
You ever met him before?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You ever been to any of his parties?
No.
You should come to one.
All right.
They might get shut down by SWAT occasionally.
Why? Right. But why SWAT? Why not the cops? Like, why? What about your party made SWAT come?
You know, that's a good question.
Let's go down to City Hall and let's find out exactly why.
Yeah, you said a while ago you were suing LA. Is that still in the process?
No, I looked at all that and we decided not to.
Okay.
Yeah. We handle it in a different situation.
A little too messy.
Yeah. It's not the way anytime to handle it. Not the way to handle
it. I respect that.
Yeah. And you've been bankrupt twice.
Yes. Yeah. In my 20s, early 20s. Yeah. Once personally, once in business.
How you come back from that?
You just keep going. You know, they say success is a progressive realization of a worthy goal, you know, and that's what it is. That includes failure. Failure is part of moving ahead and being successful. I failed at a bunch of stuff. Not everything goes the way you want it to, as well you're aware.
Yep.
Facts.
Little Earl Nightingale. Was that your jam back in the day?
Oh, yeah. I had my rolling library with cassettes in. Yep. You know, I'd have the whole
there
thing.
We go.
Absolutely. Earl Nightingale, The Greatest Secret. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
And then what's the relationship here? You guys have a podcast together?
We have a podcast together called Business Outlaws. Tell them about it.
Yeah, we met, I don't know, was it like 12 years ago?
Yeah.
We met in a mastermind.
Oh,
and
nice.
We were in masterminds and we became friends and would hang out a lot. And I don't know, was it 3 years ago?
Yeah.
We were in a couple of masterminds where you pay a lot of money to be in them. Mm. There was one we paid like $100,000 each to be in.
Whoa.
There we go.
We came back from a meeting and we were like, man, they don't tell us the truth in this. Like, we know that there's more going on than what they're telling us. And we want to have the real conversation. We don't want to talk about the fluff. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of being, we're just being sold all
what
the time.
What it really takes to move the needle.
Yeah.
At some point, when can we talk about the real stuff? And so we're like, let's just do a show. We don't care if we monetize it. We're going to try as much as we can to tell the younger generation, like, what if we could go back and tell ourselves when we were 24, how would you approach business and life? And so that's kind of the theme behind it, is being as honest as we can and telling people the truth, not the idealized version of business and how things work.
Yeah.
And it transcends awesome. Business because it's mindset, it's your personal life, your relationships, all, impact that.
Are you the best business fixer in the game?
Yeah,
says
he
here
is.
My notes.
Absolutely, he is.
Did he fix your business?
Hell yeah. Like three times he's helped me. Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a genius.
So what are some key strategies for a successful business?
I mean, that's vague,
that's a loaded question.
I mean, we can dive in if you want.
My experience has been fixing car dealerships for commission. So I think the reason why I have the toolbox I have is because I didn't get paid if I didn't fix them, which is most consultants come in and they, throw out ideas, but they're not vested in the outcome. And so I didn't get paid if I didn't get a result. So I have a unique toolbox of moving really fast, changing culture, systems. And I think culture and systems are probably the first ones on the bus, and then people.
Got
I think
it.
People think that it's people first, but if you put good people in bad systems, you fail. It's all about the system and then putting good people in.
Mike, you were talking about something that had to do with that earlier and your growth. And I think you said, would you say you were taking things slow? Was that what it was? Or
well, yeah, in the cannabis space, everyone's just burning through cash and no one's making, there's no profitability there. It's just black hole. And so I realized that early on. And so I'm just letting the market churn. The way I describe it is if you just sit on top of a cliff and you look down in a valley and everyone's at war with each other and two or three guys are left at the end of that war, I go, hey, come here. Let's do some business together.
Are you self-funded?
Yes. And we're a privately held company too, as well.
Because all that money that those other people are burning is other people's money too, which makes it even fucking worse.
Yeah, when I do it, I'm burning my own cash. And so I'm real, cognizant of every penny that's spent, as I say, every stutinki, which is a Bulgarian penny, which is about half the value of an American penny.
Do you think, Mike, people are getting shy now? Because the big money guys coming in have been burned. Are they backing off, or is big money still
investment
coming
is
in?
Backing off right now, and they're reassessing the whole situation. And people are going to continue to burn through cash in this industry, and a lot of people are going to be going out of business.
I like that strategy. I think there's a lot of people that come on the scene and they try to have this explosive growth, and to your point, they don't have the systems to back it up, or they haven't created the right culture. And even if they have this insane amount of money, even if they have a great product, they don't have the ability to pull off what even smaller businesses are doing, because they don't have the systems and the people or the culture, So I think
right.
I think the way you're thinking about it is amazing.
Is it one thing too that I've kind of noticed, and I wanted to ask Mike this, I'll ask it here. Like, the thing with dispensaries and the way the laws are set up is these guys that come in with millions of dollars to invest in dispensaries, it's not set up to have that kind of return, because it's really more set up to pay taxes, right? You don't have the margins.
Well, yeah. So every time you go into a dispensary, half that price is taxed.
Taxes.
Probably actually more than that is taxes.
So it's not set up to get a huge return on your investment.
No, because it keeps the black market alive.
And what does it cost right now to get, like, doesn't it cost some insane amount just to get a dispensary license? What is it? It's upwards of $1 million?
You can go and apply for it and you can get it for whatever the fee is. But once you have that, that's very valuable. These licenses are going to be somewhere between 4 to 8 million. But now there's about 4 to 5 million. There's the license.
Crazy. And that's here. And that's here in LA. Yes. So imagine when you go to a state that doesn't have the saturation that we have here in LA.
Well, those licenses are even worth even more. Go to Florida and there's so few licenses there.
Connecticut.
They're worth like $40 million for a license.
Crazy. I just heard. Yeah. So look at the amount of money you have to sink in just to play the game. And that's just to get you to the plate. And then from there, like, who knows what's going
to
fucking
happen. But it's not set up for you to make a huge return. It's set up to pay taxes. The thing is like when Prohibition, what ended, you wouldn't buy a liquor store. You would start a brand of whiskey, right? Yeah. Am I explaining that right?
Yeah.
And so everybody's starting liquor stores for huge amounts of money. And what you really want is
your own.
You want to start Grey Goose or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your own strategy.
And you better be in for the long haul. This is a long play game. Yeah. You're not going to make a bunch of money here, like real quick. And that's, you have the all thing. These public companies, their valuations went up. And I was on all the financial shows in New York.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
But listen, that's hyper valuations, and they're going to sink. And sure enough, that's happening right now. It's just that some of the deflation is going on, and it's pretty heavy.
Because they want their money out in 3 to 5 years, and the 3 years has come, and we're on 5, and there's no way they're getting their money out. It's gone.
I watched a lot of those guys, Reg A+, IPO. Under the Jobs Act, they did that Regulation A+ offering. A lot of the weed guys have done these non-conventional IPOs too, because they can they even do traditional IPOs? Can you do a traditional IPO on the weed side? NASDAQ?
In Canada, you can do it, right?
Okay. Yeah. And so that's what a lot of the guys are doing.
Yep.
Well, because it's not federal, right? So you can't.
And then they're doing doing CBD on this side.
They invest down here, right?
Yeah, they do.
The Canadian IPOs will invest down here.
Yes, they do.
Are those your genetics? Or your strains, or is it somebody?
I use growers up in Humboldt, and we look at all the strains, and based on the strains, we selected out the strains that we want to use, and they grow them for us.
That's a labor of love, is what that is. He spent a lot of time
picking, smoking,
doing research. I used to laugh at him.
And growers, these are experienced growers that are growing these strains.
You think they have
like the they're second and third generation families of growers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. I think I'm curious to hear from you what the kind of the state of the union is of the cannabis industry. If you could sum it up, you know, federally, statewide, to the person that's not really studied.
You can't. It's in massive flux right now. Mm. And that's another thing. You don't know which way these laws are going to go. You got all these people out there CBD crazy and all this. And you see the government right now, FDA, trying to figure out how to regulate it. And they're trying to regulate it for pharma. Here's what I predict: that the states where there's medical marijuana, those states, when it's just medical marijuana alone, you're going to lose your ass, because every one of those medical claims that you want to make, you have to go to the FDA, and you're going to have to spend $50 to $100 million. States that are recreational users, as what they call adult use now, those are the states where you'll be able to make money. And I would invest in those right now and hold off on just medical states.
Got it.
Yeah.
Is it too late to hop on the cannabis train?
It's never too late. There's all kinds of niches. What sector do you want to get in? Everyone seems to want to get into the weed. Do you want to make an app? Do you want to do this? A new type of extraction equipment, a new gizmo of some sort that they just have one now. These rubber fingers, they take all the buds off the hemp very, very quickly.
Wild.
Right. And so there's all this technological advances in equipment that moving forward, shit, I can't even predict what's going to come. I know some of this stuff. They've got spectral analysis now in grows. They'll tell you any kind of deficiency, any kind of disease that the plant has just by light looking at it. Yeah.
It's like the beginning of like the industrial era.
Technical.
But in weed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And from a technical standpoint, it's wild.
I'm fascinated how many things this plant can be used for.
Oh, yeah. 50,000.
Like,
this 50,000
uses.
I thought there was like,
I have a friend right now. I have a friend, and they won't let him talk about it, but he makes panels out of hemp and plastic for BMW, Mercedes, Bugatti, Lotus, and they won't let him talk about it. But it's he's been doing that for years.
Yeah. So is hemp still federally illegal, or is
It's federally legal. It's a Farm Act here. Yeah.
How long has that been legal for?
Since Trump did it about 6 months ago?
Wow.
7 months ago.
So hemp was illegal.
Well, technically, yeah.
How long was hemp illegal for in the U.S.?
Well, 1937, it became illegal because of, cotton.
Okay. Yeah, the cotton industry.
Sulfuric acid.
Did you guys know that the first two drafts of the Constitution were written on hemp paper?
That's correct.
Really?
Yeah.
And George Washington grew hemp.
And then it was just outlawed.
And in fact, in states like Virginia, it was against the law if you didn't grow hemp. You got fined as a farmer.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Up until like the 1800s, like I think backwards. It was like 80 to 90% of all paper was hemp paper.
And pharmacies had medicine with cannabis in it. You could go and buy it.
What happened?
It happened. Big business came in. DuPont in general had the cotton industry wrapped up, and they had sulfuric acid, and they didn't have a product to break down the hemp or the technology. All the infrastructure was in there for cotton, and so they passed laws. Yeah.
What do you think about
lobbyists?
What do you feel? What are your thoughts on CBD? I think you mentioned before that you were headed there, right?
I'm coming with the CBD line. Yeah, sure.
So obviously you're a believer. Do you think there needs to be a THC component to activate CBD?
I think it's better for pain relief.
Yeah.
I like two parts THC to one part CBD.
2-1.
That works really, really well for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't tolerate THC incredibly well, to be honest with you. So
In what form? Because it matters if you smoke it or eat it, because you're talking different enzyme systems in your body.
Especially edible. Okay. Especially edible.
So some people have a genetic... They're missing a certain gene.
Yeah,
it's a CYP gene. I don't have the number off the top of my head. And if you don't have that, you are not going to feel good when you have an edible. In fact, you can get violently ill. Mm-hmm. And so genetics will come into play as well. But smoking, then you don't want to eat it. You want to and smoke
burn.
It.
Yeah, I can smoke, but when I take edibles, I kind of end up on the moon.
I was going to ask you why is it that when I smoke, I can like. 99% of the time handle my shit, but when I eat an edible, like I'll be high for 3 days in a row.
Okay, let me explain.
Unable to move.
Okay, so because when you eat it, you're converting it to a different form of THC. It's called 11-hydroxy delta 9, THC.
Of course.
And so that is 10 times more classic, yeah. And that's 10 times more potent than normal THC.
Oh.
And so you're getting really high. And a way to look at it is it's almost like an analog of THC, but it's not. It's naturally occurring. It has to go through your liver.
Wait, no one told me this
in school.
No one told me that edibles
about
are
delta 9
10 times more.
On my IG, I explain all that. Big Mike on
Follow
Instagram.
Big Mike.
I'm here. I'm scrolling. Look at that. Hemp is the strongest natural fiber in the world.
Right. Yeah. It's 50,000 benefits. So we're more of an educational thing.
Amazing. Yeah. We love that.
Is this why you have 2.6 million followers?
7.
2.7?
Yeah.
I think I've... Bad news.
Oh,
for you
might have got because Instagram's been pulling. They've been pulling old accounts, man.
Over the last few days.
I got screwed too. I dropped like 100,000. Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
The edibles, I think a lot of people, the first way they find out that the edibles are 10 times stronger is they take a little family vacation down there to Amsterdam. Remember when they used to have all those problems with the space cakes there and the people would come over and they'd be like, oh, I could eat a fucking brownie, dude.
Some of the space cakes had psilocybin in them.
Oh, facts, wow. Because psilocybin's legal in Amsterdam and is now decriminalized here in Denver. Now, I know your thoughts on marijuana, but what are your thoughts on psilocybin?
Listen, I get hit up with that all the time, and I'm not a psilocybin expert. I'm a cannabis expert.
Are you a psilocybin cosmonaut, explorer?
Well, I have a couple of times, I've taken it twice, but very, very micro doses.
Mm. What are your thoughts?
Now, I want to do ayahuasca.
That's a send. That's what we call a full send here.
Have you done it?
I've not, but there's some in the room. We've probably got one that's not filming right now because he's probably doing ayahuasca right now, to be quite honest.
It's like a daily thing?
He said, Big Mike, I want to take you to Peru. We're going to go in the jungle. and for 3 days, we're going to go through this ceremony. He goes, now listen, the first day, you're going to throw up and stuff, and it won't be that pleasant. But by the second or third day, he goes, you'll be throwing up and you'll be rolling in the dirt and you're not going to care. And you're going to, that's where the magic happens. I'm going, Jesus, I don't want to go all the way to Peru and roll around the dirt in the jungle and throw up on myself.
I could pay the Peru guy to come up here and do it for
exactly.
us.
Well, that's exactly what
supposedly,
happened.
Supposedly, though, that's like a massive side effect of the ayahuasca is just a constant.
You purge.
On the first day or two.
I think like after you take it.
But if you don't eat meat for a couple of weeks and salt, doesn't it make it easier?
Yeah, if you eat a really strict diet. It alleviates it.
And there's even one level higher than that. I've always
been DMT.
DMT.
Yeah, or found peyote.
The peyote and the, have you seen the, I watched a Vice special on this frog venom.
Oh, listen.
Crazy. Okay, so down in Mexico.
So we actually.
Mike Tyson was telling us about that.
We had a ceremony and he was there for it, but I had to take some tests. And so I wasn't able to do this ayahuasca thing. But, okay, ayahuasca is female energy. And the toad is the masculine energy.
Yes.
And they say you should only do the toad one or frog, whatever it is, one time. Maybe you can get away with two times, but one time is all you need to do it.
And well, what, you get too manly?
I don't know.
I was watching this, like I was watching this special on Vice, and the dude, I guess you're supposed to smoke it. They create like a smokable compound.
Oh, yeah, no, you absolutely can. A vaporizer.
And I watched him doing it with the natives down there, in it might have been in Chihuahua, Mexico, or something like that. And he was on this beach, and he said he was fucking beamed into some wormhole. For like, I believe it's a short experience, right? DMT is a short experience.
Oh,
right?
Say unless you let go. If you hold on, you stay there for a long time. Because you're kind of basically dying. That's how people experience.
Isn't DMT insanity. The chemical that is supposedly released once
before
when
you die.
Once when you're born and once when you die.
It's in you.
Yeah.
And then if you do this ceremony or whatever, this ritual, you can get it again in midlife.
And then what everybody says is we're all one. That's what they'll come out.
Every single one.
Come on, tell me more.
I watched this guy talk to this wooden horse I had for 3 hours. He talked to him. I go, what were you talking? He goes, I was communicating. I said, but that's not a living object. I mean, I thought all living things are connected. He goes, oh no, dad, everything. It's all connected.
I think that's.
Everyone had this about the same story.
I think that's what's amazing about plants, you know, versus opiates. And we're in this time in which opiates are legal. You can go get all of these.
Opiates are plants too, sadly.
Right. But I mean, they're manufactured. And I think when you look at the power of plants and what they can do, they can tap you into these states of consciousness.
Yeah.
And yet we're, you know, shunning them as a public when for so many years they've done so much.
Yeah, in history people were doing it.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
Before a bunch of laws came
out. There's a UFO here, bro.
They're like, eat the plants, kids.
That came from outside?
That was
that's
spirit.
A sign, Mike. We got to do ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca right now. Bring it in.
Bring
the shamans. Yeah, send the shamans in, please.
Some more now.
I need I need some advice, Big Mike.
Uh-oh.
I'll let you take those puffs there, but do you have any advice if you have a super bad high? Because like I had one once.
Yeah, there's a product called Antidose out there, and it's made to take you down. So what you want to do is peppercorns, sugar, real sugar, and caffeine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just a battle.
And CBD, because you want the CBD competes with the THC receptor sites.
What do you do with the peppercorns? You just eat them?
Yeah, you chew it up and put on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Just if you're high.
And this combats just THC rises?
Because it has a terpenoid in it called myrcene. And myrcene will help modulate your high.
You're saying there's a flawed product
there's a product. Yeah, there's a product called Antidose, and a friend of mine makes that product, and it's a great product. You take that, and because it's got a really great delivery system in it, and so within 10 minutes you're pretty well straight.
I had passed out once.
Yeah.
Because I was in Denver smoking that good Colorado Kush.
Yeah, sure.
And I headbutted the floor. My friend Mike tried to catch me, but I headbutted the floor. And
he's
I was just confused because I thought weed was supposed to, like, you know, relax you and calm you down. And meanwhile, I got like kind of paranoid and just like
depends on the weed
dipped on life.
Yeah.
Is that because the receptors in your brain? Because I've seen some of your content.
You have CB1 receptors and CB2 receptors. CB1 receptors are mainly in the brain, and CB2 receptors are mainly in the body.
Okay.
Yeah. And so one protects the neural network, and one boosts the immune system.
So some strains are designed better genetically for certain people? Like each
person? Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. 100%.
So you think he just got into some scary
a sativa.
Kush.
I mean, I was with him. There was a lot of other factors involved. We had like a long trip. There was like a lot of other... things going on, lack of drinking enough water. Sure.
Flat earth.
Yeah, flat earth. We were at a...
You're not going to die.
We're at a flat earth convention, Mike, boys. We're at a flat
And what did
convention.
You figure?
How do we feel about that now?
Well, yeah. let me tell you guys. We infiltrated their community. Right. We went
did
deep.
Did you flip them or did you Hell just go
no.
with
it? Hell no. We went deep cover. Yeah. He went under the guys that he was on the fence. I went under the guys that I had seen my best friend once fall off the side
no
of
way.
The flat earth.
Really? Yeah.
And so that is what had turned me into a believer. And so they gave us media passes. They let him go on stage. He did a mic drop, said he had come out of the flat earth club. It crazy.
I think
and
what happened with Logan is that he was on the fringe. All right, like he was stressed out from the day. He smoked a little bit and he almost converted.
Well, that's a lot of pressure.
You're not going to die. You have to smoke 10,000 pounds of weed in a 10-minute period to have a lethal dose.
Challenge accepted.
Next question.
There's anyone that could do it.
Let's get started. Yeah.
Nah, but it's like thank God my friend was there. Because if he wasn't, I literally just would have. Passed out for God knows how long, telling me able to function again. Yeah.
Well, okay. This is was this from Mac?
Yeah. Oh, what's that? What's
this is it? My it looks this like is a my pipe. Lemon haze, but he gave it to you in a crack pipe, and I'm not quite sure why. But I don't know if what's that
single hitter?
That's paraphernalia.
Yeah, I mean nothing like a little crack on a third. What day is it? Thursday.
That's not. It's just a little.
It's a one. It's a oney. It's a onesir.
You know what? Haze is one of my favorite strains.
There we go. Judge Mike's Kush.
So this is what you. This is what you grew.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know the Mendo's better. I'm going to give him some of the Mendo after. Try that first. Right. I'll pull you out some of this Mendo breath. All right. I want to talk more about the psychedelics, dude. That's a fun topic.
Mike and I have chickened out. We've talked a big game, but we chicken out every time.
Let's see what we got.
He had a shaman in his house do it for a bunch of people, and we're going to do it, and we chickened out.
Well, it was a funny story, too.
Mike, stick that in there. That's the Mendo. Stick that three and a half gram bud onto the fucking...
First off, what are you going to give us out of a scale of 1 to 10 on that, on that first?
It was cured correctly. It's nice and
That's all I want to hear. Yeah. That's the hardest part of the process. It was in canning jars for 4 weeks. I took the curing very, very seriously. The Mendo people though. They like the Mendo.
Do you guys ever look at we're on a podcast in America and be like, holy shit, this is actually happening? Like, is it sometimes still feel like a dream?
Not so much anymore, but in the beginning. But I can remember my brother and I were during the dark ages, we're trimming weed, and I think it was 97. I looked at him and I go, hey, this isn't always going to be legal. One day we're going to be legal with this stuff and we won't have to hide and do all this stuff.
Damn.
It was okay, great. Keep going.
You knew?
And I had that feeling because Prop 215 had come out here. And so then Canada was talking about legalizing it federally and they did. And so I said, well, it's just a matter of time. The genie's out of the bottle. The door's has been open. And I saw the medical marijuana community and how passionate they were and advocates and how organized they were. And it was pretty obvious.
So you've smoked Mike's weed. I want to know, as someone who doesn't smoke weed that often, how do you measure the quality of weed? Because someone will hand me
Well, you sit back and just feel it. You smoke it, you taste it, smell it, smoke it.
How do you cleanse your palate, though? You know how with food or wine you cleanse your palate? When you're high... Doesn't
okay, so what you're looking for is something else to cut through the high that you already have because
cool
then you know
ranch
that's
Doritos.
Yeah. Is that what that might work though? Is it sugar? Like how do you come back to earth after you you're at Cannabis Cup,
right?
And you're walking around and you're trying to.
It's actually kind of tough there. And really, what you're looking for is something to take you in a different direction or cut through where you're already at. Yeah.
So you switch maybe sativa
and
indica,
you feel
hybrid.
It, how it tastes and yeah, what it
but
looks
don't
like.
The highs kind of stack on each other?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
How do you stay in such good shape? You know, 13% body fat and avoid getting the munchies.
Well, I don't smoke all day. I smoke in the evening to mostly go to sleep and to also think about. Look, I've been hundreds of millions of dollars high. no.
And we've got an opener for the show.
Yes. There we go.
Fantastic. Yeah,
because it puts my brain in a different state. And I can, I look at, during a business day, I look at life one way and everything. And amazing. Then in the evening, I go back and I start thinking about my day and I process through it. But I do it when I'm medicated.
By the way, that's...
I have a little post-it note things all over my house and I write shit down and... Used to every once in a while, I get a clunker or two ideas. Now my subconscious just pumps out really great ideas, like they're money makers.
And you write them all down.
Oh yeah.
So
make sure
I
don't forget.
Phone.
So the next thing I've done it on the phone too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked out high?
I don't like it. It's too distracting for me. For me, I do better. But what I do, yoga, stretching. Oh, yeah. I'm not a big yoga guy, but I had the you yoga people that, over. Huh? And, by the way, you know, I saw it in the show, you know, Andrew Seeley. He was your yoga guy.
Yeah.
Andrew, we had him on our show, too.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Yeah.
And so I like, when I'm high, to do my stretching because the pain actually feels good.
Huh. Interesting. Amazing. Yeah. I'm a pretty flexible guy.
We box.
I saw that. You did the splits.
The splits. Ooh, that's gonna be a sick TikTok. I'll bring it back.
Yeah, you need to.
Yeah, hell
you
need to. Yeah, we. Never mind.
you find the creativity is the thing you like most from it, and that kind of automatically or like organically brings me back to. There's actually a lot of people up in Silicon Valley right now that are micro dosing either LSD or psilocybin to get to that creative place. Mm-hmm. Or by the way, what you mentioned, which is the main output of any trip I've ever been on or any trip I've ever seen anyone go on, which is that connectivity. You know what I'm saying? I'm so connected to everything.
Yeah. They make vape pens that are DMT vape pens now that are out there.
I knew about this.
No, it's a two-minute ride.
I had a girl accidentally, she brought it to a party and she had accidentally smoked it and she was on DMT at the party and it wasn't great.
That's a little wacky, dude. I'd like to see vape pen.
Yeah, where's the point where we're like, all right,
that's the point. You preach it. I'd like to see psilocybin continue to kind of pop in, dude. Like I think it's a clean and healthy and pretty safe drug. And like I said, I know Denver and Colorado's decriminalized.
Yeah, Oakland. You know what's like gonna end up leading the charge? I think is veterans. Like they're finding that
PTSD. PTSD is
being treated with psilocybin, and that's really like I think where they're gonna find.
Their approval came out for psilocybin for veterans to use it.
Yep. Amazing. Yep. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't it also help people quit heroin and smoking?
That's another thing I wanted to bring up too. I'm really passionate about the opiate epidemic in the country and, you know, have lost a lot of friends and, you know, almost lost myself to it. And so I'm curious what you think I'm sure you see a positive impact from THC or CBD or some mixture on people that are suffering through withdrawals or people that are, you know, in early recovery. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, I can tell you every surgery I've had over the last 7 years, they gave me the Oxycontin and I just throw it away. They gave me Percocets for my tooth surgery. And they go, well, what are you going to do? I said, just cannabis. Mm-hmm. And then they see how I manage my pain and they all ask me all kinds of questions afterwards. So for really intense pain, there should be some kind of painkiller, but there should be a combination where you're using that and cannabis, and then eventually you just shift over to just cannabis. I don't even touch this stuff, and I don't have a problem. It kills my pain.
Yeah. I've had a decent amount of surgeries in my life, and I'll throw away the painkillers.
Good.
They scare me. Like
they scare the shit out of me too.
They terrify me. I don't want to.
I can imagine. I have to now. I can't have a narcotic for the rest of my life. And so the last surgery I had a full ventral hernia repair surgery. They had to cut my entire stomach open from here to here. They put a piece of mesh in to the muscle, suture the muscle closed because I had a splenectomy when I was younger. And I remember going into the operating room and they're like, all right, we're going to give you your anesthesia. I'm like, I can't have narcotics. So like whatever you give me has to be I think they couldn't do it, the anesthesia without narcotics, because it has to be for some reason to get you to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. But when I woke up, they're like, yo, I just want to let you know, this is a painful fucking surgery. We're cutting your abdomen right down the middle. Yeah. We're going into your like muscle cavity. And like you should definitely think about using painkillers. I'm like, I can't. No matter how bad I want to take painkillers, how bad the pain is, like I have to. I've made it through like a couple recently where
I needed them bad, bro,
but I can't ever be able to do it ever again.
It's wild how there's deaths that are like I've had a really good friend that I lost at a young age to painkillers. Like he just ended up taking a bunch right before he's gonna go into rehab and OD'd. And, you know, cannabis, there's no reported deaths from actually consumption.
Like I said, you do 10,000 pounds in 10 minutes you got to consume.
Is that close to accurate?
That to me is enough evidence.
Insane number.
You know?
No, it is.
Yeah. No, yeah, I heard this in high school. When my boys and I didn't smoke in high school, but my boys liked it, and we'd have to like hide out in the basement. We'd talk about the myths and of weed, and
because when you're with your boys, you're like, dude, I feel like I could die, and you're like, no, bro, you're good,
you're fine.
Especially when you start coughing.
Oh yeah,
I've had times where I start coughing and I was positive. I was going out.
If you could die from weed, Wiz Khalifa would be dead. 100%.
Snoop Dogg gone. Do you think there's a way that I want to mentally or like right here formulate the idea, the concept behind getting 10,000 pounds of weed into someone's lung in a single shot? All right. Yeah, so here's how I imagine it. We take one of your massive grows, a 1,000 lighter.
Sure.
So 9,000 plants. All right. Maybe that's about enough weed, call it, right? So yeah, about a pound of plant. You got 9,000 plants.
Yeah, about three or four pounds of light. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So now you find a way to funnel the top of the building into a small space, set up some sort of hydraulic vacuum underneath it. You throw a napalm into the middle of it. You burn the building down, but it all captures inside this funnel. Now you push the button on this hydraulic vacuum inator that I just came up with a name for, and you put someone's mouth over a little tube at the very top of it, and it goes. That's a sound, by the way. And they get 10,000 pounds of marijuana in their fucking lungs at 1 second, and immediately
they just explode,
fucking die, and DMT overload into the next dimension, totally connected to every living thing, bro.
Can I be honest with you? As the host of this podcast, I cannot believe I let you talk that long.
Are you saying it's not possible?
I don't know.
You could just punch him.
No, don't do it.
I don't think you should either.
I mean, it's worth a try, you know? Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to, because otherwise we have an unproven fact. I mean, think about it. We all got a theory. Somebody's got to fucking do it.
Someone's got to try to take it.
Mythbusters, if you're watching this, do it.
Are you going to fight KSI again?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. I'm down.
That's amazing that you filled that stadium. I was like, that was impressive. That's so goddamn impressive. What was it like to be out there and you know, here you are and there's all those people and now you're fighting?
It's very interesting. The last time, the professional fight, it felt like a movie. I think it had to do something with the day. Like, I just didn't feel like I was it was one of 2 days in my life where I did not feel like I was present. My life was happening. I couldn't control it. And it was just
like out of body.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I have no idea why. The amateur fight in Manchester, I think there was actually more people in that arena, and that one I felt grounded and present, which was weird.
Really?
I don't know why. I wasn't like nervous or anything. It just felt like I was watching my life occur, and it wasn't great, actually. I think that probably contributed to the outcome in a weird way.
Would you change that day or how you prepare mentally? If you had to do it again?
I would.
What would you do different?
Smoke a giant blunt.
I'd fight.
What would happen if you smoked a giant?
I wouldn't.
Because you'd be slowed down, right?
Probably. Yeah. Because Chris and I box. We train.
Oh, for real?
Oh yeah.
We brought you a gift, actually.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, can you answer the question first?
Yeah. Okay, so here's the question.
What would you do different?
I'm a strategic fighter, I'm a strategic athlete. I calculate everything before I make my move. And boxing is a sport where you have to sort of summon the animal in you, right? You're fighting, so you have to beat someone up and make them quit via your fists. however, I had that fight mentality and it took it a little too far. And I ended up fighting dirty. I was just like, yo, let me swing whenever I possibly can. And that's what happened. Like, he went to the ground and I gave him a little love tap because in my mind, I'm like, a boxer, fight, be an animal. You know, I'm here to neutralize this fucking kid. So he went to the ground, and honestly, this is why I think I'll be better in MMA, because there's less rules, and I'm not good with rules, if you can't tell.
Have you heard of this thing called CTE?
Yeah.
Yeah, be careful. You're a smart kid. Yeah. Really, really, really be careful with your...
upside?
Your brain, because down the road is when it happens.
Yeah. I agree.
Do you think though, by the time that I would potentially get CTE, there'd be some sort of cure for it?
No, that's brain damage.
Guys, come on.
No,
guys,
absolutely
come on.
Not. No.
Have you ever seen what a human brain...
I could give you weed to help with that, but that'll help protect your neural network.
What if I already have it? It's already too late for me?
Here's the deeper thing.
You don't want to make it worse.
On a different note, with CTE, it's the family that you have that is the most affected. Like, you see a lot of these boxers or fighters.
Yeah. Whoa. That's from Mike and I.
Damn.
So, our buddy.
These are high quality gloves.
That's the shit.
Winnings.
Yeah.
Thank you, dude.
Our buddy Matt.
Best in the business.
Matt Biamonte set that up for us, but he's our coach. And Yep. We wanted to bring you a
amazing.
He's friends, nice. He's friends with Milton. Wasn't Milton in your corner?
Of course. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, boys. 16-ounce gloves. I will be training in these. Yep. Heck yeah.
And the white's pretty dope.
I love fighting with white
gloves. We just saw Rogan. You've been on his show.
No.
You haven't?
No, I want to get
what
on it.
What the
fuck? You absolutely should. You I should can't believe on. That.
We saw him down in Hawaii. We were down in Maui for a couple days recently. We saw Joe, and he came back, and he had Brendan Shaw, the other the fighter. What's his podcast?
Fighter and the Kid?
Fighter and the Kid, okay. On his show the other day. They're on together all the time, and Brendan was talking about why Logan should same kind of thing as you guys, basically. Like, why would you do it? You know what I'm saying? He was like, the kid's got a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
He knows, he's good at making video content. He knows what he's doing in life, you know, and he was a good fighter. But at the same time, like, it's a risk versus reward situation, like you guys are putting out there. Like, is it worth it to risk the brain damage, you know, for momentary glory? Or, by the way, even worse, momentary not glory. Like, imagine getting brain damage and then not winning.
I also would contend that you've done the hardest part and learned the biggest lesson. Getting in the ring like you have, that. Not too many people can do that. Boxing, I don't know, is probably like stand-up comedy. Like, there aren't too many things where it's just you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's only you, and you have to face whatever it is in your head. You've done that. Yeah. And so now, what do you want to be a pro boxer?
I'll tell you. I have a problem ending on a loss.
Oh, I get that. So one more?
Yeah. I know that. I know that story,
I'll do,
too.
I'll so do just one. Win next time.
Yeah.
Would you call it? Would you call it before you go in? Like, this is gonna be my only last MMA fight, because that's where I just know you, bro. You got that. You're not gonna stop.
How big is the fucking bag, bro?
Hey, we got a segment.
Let's do a segment.
It's a game. It's called Big Mike or Hey Big Mike.
So we're gonna name some facts about these guys, and we're gonna bring in Chef Katie actually to be the contestant.
Oh my God!
Wow, that's our chef, Chef Katie.
Oh, very good. Wow. Hey, Chef Katie, how you
Welcome,
doing?
Welcome, Chef Katie. We try to pick a neutral party.
Most important person at this house. Don't get me wrong. Hey,
you're a little low. Yeah. Here. Let's bring her over here.
Come on in.
So, Chef Katie, your job is gonna be to decipher if it relates to Big Mike. Or Hey Big Mike. The winner wins my admiration and respect.
And a blunt.
And a blunt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to put some pillows? Okay.
I do that for Grandma Jane sometimes, too. What? Now you're...
I feel like I'm 12.
Okay. No, I don't like any of this. She's going to take a Spencer-style fall. I see it already.
People love that fall, by the way.
Dude, it was the fall. How you fall feeling, heard around way? The world.
How's your knee?
Knee's good, dude. I ran 8 miles this morning. I'm chilling.
Nice.
Yep. That's a bit much. That's a bit far, yeah.
Yeah, you got some sort of problem.
No, that's actually not that far.
Okay,
man.
No problem. No problem. All right, Chef Katie, you ready?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Is this?
Yeah, we got
you.
You
got to speak right into this. This is Riley Reed's mic. Okay. Just get real closer.
That's fine. I like her.
Yep. This mic is no longer allowed in Canada.
Ooh. I want to go. Wait, what am I saying? Hey, Big Mike, or just Big Mike?
Yeah, or you can point if it gets confusing.
Well, I actually don't know which.
This is okay. Big Mike.
There you go. All right. Hey.
Which one of these guys?
That's Hey, right. Big Mike. I'm just Big Mike.
I'm going to go with Mike.
This Mike.
This Mike.
You would be correct.
You're correct.
It's the only country in the world that will not allow me in there.
Hold on. Wait.
It's okay. You got to say it right on red. Big Mike or Hey, Big Mike?
Okay. I'm not allowed in Canada either.
I was going to say.
Wait, no, both of those. Right.
Oh, no. Hey. Whoa. It's a draw.
I can't, bro. They are currently not letting
can I say people like. Both? Is that
yeah,
a,
I can't go to
option?
Canada.
I'd Apparently
love to.
So.
What do you have something on your record?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They won't let you in.
Yeah, they don't like me at all.
Why can't you go to Canada?
They actually kidnapped me and took me over the border. They couldn't.
They dropped him off at the border.
Yeah.
What?
The Americans. Yeah, it's true. It's in the book.
But why would you not be allowed to go in there?
Well, I grew a lot of cannabis. Now, I was never found guilty. They stayed the charges. However, I am also the largest forfeiture return in that country's history. And so they're not really popular.
Wow. Oh, got it. Okay. Well, welcome to America.
But I don't hold any grudges against Canada. I've got office and production up there.
Mike, let me tell you something really quick. You want to make a badass piece of content. Big Mike and Big Mike go to Canada. We'll pop on epic fucking proportions. I'll have a setup by the Nelk boys. They have all the. They're basically the presidents of that country. They'll get us in.
I can get you in. That's not a problem for you and I getting into that country. We can get out of that too.
Where would we go? Where would we go?
Another story.
I don't like any of this guys.
Yeah, let's talk. Let's talk.
And we're not going to do it.
This Mike is dating a porn star.
These are tough. Okay, I'm going to go with Hey Big Mike, but can I say both? I don't know you, but I want to go with both.
If you want to say both, yeah, I guess.
No, what? All right.
All right, final answer, both?
Hey, Big Mike.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm a married man.
Oh, you're not to a porn star?
No.
She never was? Like on some Kanye type shit?
Never.
But also, Mike's not really like dating her.
Thank you. I'm not. I'm fond of multiple porn stars. Even fonder of multiple porn stars at the same time, if possible. But like this, I'm not dating a porn star or dating anyone for that matter.
Yet. This Mike.
Facts.
Once spent $10,000 for $200 of weed.
I'm going to go with that, Mike.
You would be correct. That was $100 over here. Yeah.
$100. Why did you do that?
Okay, so I was down there in French Polynesia, Tahiti, and I was on this island, and private island, and there was no weed, and so I knew there was some weed in Bora Bora because I'd been there before, and I knew the people, so I just had a helicopter come in, fly me over to Bora Bora, and then I went, got the weed, and got back in, and. That was it.
$10,000 for that.
Was it good? Was it good or swag or what?
No, but look at it. It was. Sometimes you get weed and it's all brown and shitty and moldy. This was actually green weed. And so it was good. Nice. Yeah, it was
good,
really good.
Boring reed weed.
Yeah. You got them all right.
By the way, they grow with advanced nutrients.
Though. All right. This Mike only has a high school diploma.
These are really hard questions.
Yeah,
these are
hard. You could be one credit away. I don't know. I feel like.
Go ahead. Go show
that much.
I've had 1 year of college.
I do. I have a degree, bro.
Yeah. In what? I still can't believe that.
Ready for this? Yeah. This is, if you're watching this, and I feel bad if I'm defaming your name, but I have the most useless degree in the entire world. I have an associate's degree. In liberal arts. Yeah. It does absolutely fucking nothing.
Say liberal arts,
I can beat you. I have a bachelor's in psychology.
No, well,
wait a minute. That's useful. That's extremely useful.
You got a master's.
Oh,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah, but still, I'm telling you, an associate's degree, a 2 year associate's degree from a community fucking college in liberal arts, which has no application whatsoever. Am I liberal? Am I an artist? I don't even know what it means, bro. I never even picked up. Here's how useless it is. I never even picked up the degree. They're literally still holding it at the fucking office at Gateway Community College in New Haven, Connecticut. You have my fucking degree. You can throw it out because I don't want it.
This Mike has his own strand of marijuana.
Oh, come on. This is so hard. Okay, I'm going to go with that, Mike.
Named Big after Mike. Me? No, there's no Big Mike.
Oh,
strand.
You said named after you?
Yeah.
That's it right there.
Has his
there.
Own strand.
This is it.
It's called Mike's Hard Lemon
Haze. I have a brand.
Yeah, facts.
but not a strain.
Yeah, that's pretty good, Chef Katie. That's a Chef Katie.
Excellent. Very good.
You we're going to get you some weed.
Apricot chicken with...
What's that?
Right. Baked apricot chicken with roasted butternut squash and basmati rice.
There we go.
That's
what's lunch?
Yeah, yeah. Healthy. Good stuff. Okay.
Chef Katie, do you need any goods?
No?
Okay, we'll figure it out.
Let's get her the sensual energy one that makes her want to just go out.
There you go.
Yes, there you go. There
and maybe
go.
Just take that after hours, please. Yeah. Just to be safe.
One, Chef Katie. Amazing job.
Chef Katie.
I was gonna ask her if she had enough food for Mike's crew, but I remembered he brings a standing fucking army with him to the podcast. He's got a crew of 57 people with him. By the way, largest entourage we've ever had on this show, so
what?
Congratulations.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Yep. That doesn't feel large.
We got three CIA agents dressed in black suits. We got a videographer with the Big Mike shirt. We've got a lovely young lady. I'm not sure what she does. Another dope dude. Like he's
you got a squad.
10 what's, people or
what's
something?
What's up with the security?
Yeah, I've had security for years.
Two at all times?
I usually don't give the number.
He
out.
He looked. Times, but he looked over, our, dude.
I went to
globally. Yeah, there is always someone. On
wait, so you, like, so like you did today. You usually have 50 security guards with you, like right. You do right now right. In this and house, and armed with AK-47. No,
and depending on circumstances, I obviously use more. You know,
I less. Went to shake his hand, and he gave me a fist bump.
I'm sure there's a strategy in that. He probably thought you would pull some sort of Krav Maga,
of course,
and break his arm.
I look threatening.
Or by the way, maybe he just sunned him. He's like, yo, let me make sure this kid doesn't think he's going to pull any shit.
Or he's a germaphobe. Hey, which one of those is true?
Is it germs?
No, they don't speak.
This
no,
is amazing, he sat down. You have professional security, dude. Amazing.
All right, I want to go to the audio only. It's like this, but it's audio only.
That sucks.
Yeah. Man. So, Big Mike and Chris, thank you guys for coming on Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Of course. Where can they find you on social media?
you can find just on Instagram. Just look up Big Mike. And, of course, you can go to Advanced Nutrients as well.
Mm, great. Yeah. And
Chris Bulldog Collins on Instagram.
Nice. Ooh, cool. I like
very
that.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah, guys, I don't just say it to say it. It's the number one podcast in the world. Yep. Hit that subscribe button. We love you. Thank you for listening. We're going to do an audio only right now. Exclusive question and answer on Spotify and iTunes. And by the way, thanks for everyone who listens to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes. We saw a fan today listen to 10,000 hours.
Oh, my God.
10,000 minutes, which is 176 hours.
Do you have her name? Are you able to pull it up quickly?
I do.
Maybe we say it in the audio.
We'll say in the audio only.
All right, great. We love you guys. Take it easy. Peace. All right, we're still here.
I said Dominic Pecora.
Woo!
10,000. He wrote 10,000 goddamn minutes. Shout 176
out. Shout
hours.
Out Dominic. Shout out.
I said this sucks earlier when we were signing out because I could talk to you boys all day. Like, honestly, I could sit and talk to you guys for fucking hours, dude.
Yeah, this is fun.
I could listen to Mike talk about weed for hours. He lights up, like, he gets into the science. Passion. Yeah. It's fun. He loves it.
I'm still fascinated by the fact that you did this way before it was like a cool thing and even before it was legal.
Yes.
When you started, did you see the boom happening that has happened now?
Oh, yeah. People came early on and wanted me to go public and I refused. I just said the valuation, this is madness is what's going on. It's not reality. And I'm not going to get caught in crossfire or something that's out of control.
And where are you based, by the way?
I'm right here in LA. Down there, we have our office down at Pacific Design Center.
Wow. Oh, at the blue building,
green building, dude.
Wait, does it change color?
No, there's a red building, there's a blue building, and a green building. So when I was picking the buildings,
you got to choose
the green building,
of course.
Facts.
Of course.
Yeah,
it's on message.
Where
it's on brand.
On point. On brand.
I like that.
Where do you see the future of marijuana? You know, how is this going to play out long term?
In medicine, you're going to see a lot of use of that as the years come. And then the recreational market, I couldn't even begin to tell you some of the products that will probably be coming out in the future, because I'm amazed on the creativity of the entire marketplace and what they bring to the table on a daily basis. It is one of the fastest spaces, that changing spaces ever that I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I grow, I should have mentioned it earlier, but I, like you, and I don't know if this is the reason why you got into it originally, but I'm so enamored by the space, but more so by the flower. Like I'm in love. Just I don't even love smoking that much. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I'm not a huge smoker just because it slows me personally down a little bit and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I love the flower. I love talking about the strains. I love looking at it. I love like when it's purple. Like I love all the different. Oh, we got Blue Dream. We've got
Fruity Pebbles, all the different colors.
Amazing. Yeah. It's such a beautiful plant.
It is a beautiful plant. And to watch it, this metamorphosis that it goes through from this leafy plant, and all of a sudden it starts growing these flowers that turn into buds, and the buds turn into colas, and it's just like, wow. And then there's a smell that comes off, and then you smoke it and you enjoy it, right?
It's magnificent. It's such a great plant.
Is it from space? Do you think it's an alien scented?
I've heard conspiracies.
I've heard this.
No, I think it's just.
It just doesn't make sense
here.
How our.
But we have an endocannabinoid system. By the way, runner's high. They did it at Heidelberg and Hamburg University in Germany, studied that. They thought it was the endorphins. No, it's our endocannabinoid system releasing anandamide, which is a form of THC. We're literally wired for weed. And so over the years, we've adapted, and that plant is now into our system. In fact, all vertebrae mammals have an endocannabinoid system. Your cat, your dog, the bat that flies around,
kangaroos.
Do you think
people smoked it early on, Mike, or did they eat it? Like, you know, say 500 years ago. Was it smoked?
There's both smoking and eating.
If you just eat the plant, do you get high?
Oh, yeah.
No, you won't. You have to heat it.
Yeah.
So you have to what's called decarboxylate it.
So when you eat an edible, like a candy, that's been heated up to activate it.
Yeah.
So if you just walk up and if I just eat that, I'm not going to feel anything?
No.
So they figured that out 500 years ago?
I don't know. 5,000 years ago.
I always wondered,
reference to pyramids of cannabis use.
What are the references?
And they probably made drinks out of it, too. They crushed it up. I know in India there's a drink called a bong. Bang, they call it, and it's
bang energy.
Bang.
Oh, follow the CEO.
And they crush it up and then with goat's milk and some other stuff, and so they drink it.
You're
and
saying
it gets
the Egyptians
high.
Promoted bang energy? I mean, that this so
it's
like, I'm mind blown.
I wonder what those brand deals look like.
That's marketing, bro.
They call bang.
We'll give you a scythe.
Two rocks.
A juice place 500 years ago, and it wasn't kale or whatever, it's cannabis.
Yeah. Crazy.
What references were there? In the Egyptian pyramids about weed, like did they draw hieroglyphics?
Yeah, there was like pictures and stuff.
You should pull it up. Pull it up on Google. Yeah,
man,
I can't.
Egyptian weed.
I cannot believe that history. I was reading fascinating
Egyptian pyramids weed. See what comes up.
I was reading about 2800 BC is when they first
and
started
China
seeing
too.
Historical
but
a lot
like,
of historical
it's
texts.
It's because it could do so many things and essentially make you happy. It's really like a
Cannabis was used in ancient Egypt. There it is.
Wait. Oh, snap. What is it? Are they holding a little pipe or what do they got here?
Oh, so they were smoking it.
These boys getting high as fuck. Yeah, dude. They were passing around a little pipe action. Wow. They were just hotboxing together in the pyramid.
King Tut is high as fuck.
They just smoked out the pyramid, bro.
Chilling with their boys.
Hotboxing the pyramid.
That's badass.
There you go.
Wait a second. Could that possibly be the way to get the 10,000 pounds? It's set up perfectly. The shape of it is perfect.
That was the first person to die was in ancient Egypt. They hotboxed the pyramid.
Yes, bro.
They're like,
that's how you became a mummy.
Unbelievable. Yeah, you automatically mummify when you take down 10,000 pounds at one time. It's incredible.
All right, we'll end on that full circle. I like that.
I don't want it to end, bro. But all right, you're the boss. Sounds good.
Hey, next marijuana millionaire. Let's talk about that. Wait. I have a show coming out in first quarter 2020. It's a cross between Discovery's looking at it right now very seriously. And it's a cross between The Apprentice and Shark Tank, and it's more a business show than a cannabis show, but we take 16 people, 12 different products, and the winner wins $1 million at the end.
That's
awesome.
They
would be stupid to not pick. Somebody already pick it up?
Discovery's talking.
They would be dumb not to pick that up.
9 episodes already done in the can.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's turnkey.
I did.
Is it?
It's high level.
Yeah, I was going to say.
$5 million budget.
Woo!
There we go.
No, this is a real deal. It's a real TV show.
We got Big Mike in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna pop, dude. That's a sure shot. Yep. They'd be with this current.
You know what? So here's what happens. So Discovery takes it to some of their advertisers. One group said yes, one group said no, and right now they're asking more advertisers. In today's day and age, it's still a stigma attached to it. It's sad.
It's a business show. Whoever takes the chance will win, though.
Yeah.
Facts. I mean, he's gonna lose money on this episode. We won't be able to monetize this shit.
YouTube is not ready for this, actually. Nah. But we even got Joe Biden, who's like in the lead right now, and he's saying
he shot himself in the head. Did you hear? Now he retracted that. He said, I think cannabis is okay now. Yeah.
Oh, he retracted it.
That's an instant lose to the election. If you say that cannabis is bad and I'm against it, you can pretty well just forget the election.
He called it a gateway drug. It's 2019. Yeah.
Well, his context though, wasn't his son on heroin or something?
Something like that.
It's just his context. What's Trump's position on cannabis?
He's got to be a little more open.
They really don't. Back channel is he's okay with it.
Yeah. He has to be if he's making moves. Yeah. He's had to legalize hemp. Yeah. You know, that's a big step. He's a businessman.
There's big business in cannabis now too, and that's farmer wants to be represented. And here's what happened. I talked to some mid-level farmer guys a couple of years back. They go, this whole CBD thing, we got caught with our pants down. So they're buying time. That's what they're doing right now.
What do you mean by that? They weren't ready for
CBD. They push it out to the market. It's been pushed out to the marketplace, and watch, they're going to reel it back. They're going to reel it back in.
I think that CBD space as it exists right now is fucked. I think like anybody could pop into that space, but I mean,
it's going to be regulated.
They're going to have to. Yeah. I mean, look at how many brands out there are pumping out, probably making millions of dollars off shit that might not even have. So like, there's zero regulation in that space right now.
In CBD, it's coming in fast. The USDA FDA is stepping in real fast. They've come down hard on people who are making claims and some claims for cancer and some other things, and they're sending out letters like crazy.
You know what's fascinating is the research, right? Like early on, Mike had a hard time doing research because it was illegal, and so he had to go to Europe. And right. I mean, he's ahead of the curve because for 20 years he's had scientists over there, nice. But here yes. nobody was researching. So they're all trying to catch up.
Yeah. I meant to ask you that actually. How did you quit briefly? Because I know we're going to stop. But how did you learn to grow? Like what was your?
Oh,
you
when we started, there wasn't fuck all out there like of information. There's a few High Times issues and Sense Amelia tips was out there. And you know, we're on our own, basically.
No right. YouTube.
And so there's no YouTube. There's no internet. None of that stuff How exists. Wild. None of that existed.
I had Overgrow.com the whole time I was
Overgrow's
learning.
Great.
I know.
Yeah,
I learned everything I
yeah.
needed to know from
sure,
Overgrow.com.
Sure, the forums. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what? You went through tons of books. What? You flew to Europe and had somebody teach you on a mountain? What did you? Because Mike goes over the top.
So
I
studied, and then I got BCIT, and then I got UBC University. They had two different licenses. I was able to put them together and able to start researching in Canada. But then I wanted to do even more, and it was a little slow and cumbersome because of regulatory things. And so I went overseas, and I was able to get a license to study cannabis. There's only three of them like this in the world. GW Pharmaceutical has one. I have one, and Tikkun Olam in Israel has one.
How many scientists do you have working for?
I know, like about 30, yeah. 31, wow. 32.
Wow.
Yeah.
Guys, you mind
science is the answer.
While we do an ad read?
Oh, matter what?
They're going to
the ad read. Yeah, sorry. I was gonna do it after, but...
It looks great with them there because the energy today was so good.
He has to put his jacket. Chris has to put his jacket back on. Huh?
Maybe I was also thinking probably signing out the episode officially, right? It was still on audio only.
Yeah, that
it's
might
all
work.
Good. It's all good. All right. People can hear this. Thank you guys again, for real.
It was great being here.
Yeah, appreciate Love you. It. Chris, Mike, yeah, wish you the fun. Best of success.
That was fun,
great
boys.
Set.
Thank you, bro. Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Take it easy.
Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.